Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. A South Sudanese lawyer is taking University of Juba administrators to court for dismissing students.
We also have Education Act in which students should actually, if you want to send a student out of the university, you should quote from those legal documents. Up to now, professor did not quote any legal documents.
And Sudan's former prime minister, Sadiq al-Mahdi, tests positive for COVID-19.
He developed some difficulty breathing in the past few days, which is a typical symptom of COVID-19. But he has arrived safely and is keeping well.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. More than a dozen students dismissed from the University of Juba last week are threatening to take Vice Chancellor John Akeche to court for what they call unprocedural dismissals from the university. Last week, Vice Chancellor Akeche dismissed 13 students and suspended others. A lawyer representing the students says he has begun the process of filing a case against the Vice Chancellor. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
In an October 30th letter seen by VOA, the Dean's Board said an extraordinary meeting was called to discuss a committee report that investigated student examination arrest on January 22nd and the more recent October protest. The Dean's Board decided students involved in both events should either be dismissed or suspended, pending on the level of their involvement. The letter further stated, quote, "Those on suspension will, upon return, pay for the cost of the damages incurred by the university," end quote. University of Juba Vice Chancellor John Akeche turned down several calls to comment on this story when contacted by VOA. Fourth year University of Juba student Wilson Mayor Adiang, one of the dismissed students, says he and other students were shocked to be forced to leave, saying they did nothing wrong.
"We were actually very astonished. But we were not afraid. We are not afraid up to now because we know very well that we have blue books of the university. Student guides is there. We also have Education Act in which students should actually, if you want to send a student out of the university, you should quote from those legal documents. Up to now, professor did not quote any legal documents."
Mayor says the university's decision to dismiss 14 students and suspend 14 others does not follow university disciplinary protocol. According to the University of Juba Students Guard, all students are required to behave decently all the time, refrain from acts that may be considered unfit in an educational institute, among others. It also states that a student who violates any of the articles in the Code of Conduct shall be warned. Other penalties include temporary or permanent deprivation from social and cultural events, payments of compensation for damaged university properties, temporary suspension or dismissal from the university. Third-year student James Duor, another dismissed student, says Akeche has violated South Sudan's Education Act and the Juba University Students Guide, also known as the Blue Book, in regard to the disciplinary procedures for students involved in any unlawful behavior on the campus.
It says the student should be investigated first. If found guilty, he or she will be warned. After he won later on and he does another thing, he or she again will be suspended, okay, for not attending the lectures. Professor Akeche went as far as dismissing us and suspend other students without investigating us to find out exactly, are we guilty or not?
Several parents and guardians of the dismissed students are expressing their outrage as well. Denkwal, a guardian of one dismissed student, says the university administration did not bring to the parents' attention the bad behavior of their children and therefore is calling on the Higher Education Ministry to intervene.
It is illegal because I know that whatever our children might have done to should have been informed to actually look into the matter, but unfortunately it had not happened. So we are still calling on the authorities, especially Minister of Higher Education, to look into the issue, to address the problem and address it in the shortest time possible.
While parents call for an amicable solution to the issue, students are considering legal action against Vice-Chancellor Akech. Kirichol is the lawyer hired by some of the dismissed and suspended students to sue the Vice-Chancellor.
From the face of the order, and after having interviewed the students, the dismissal and suspension order is null and void for the following reason. One, the dismissed and suspended students were not accorded with the due process of law, that is fair hearing. Two, the dismissed and suspended students were not accorded with the rule of natural justice.
Chol says the students were not given a chance to be heard. The University of Juba, one of the main five public universities in South Sudan, is currently closed to undergraduate students after the administration decided to shut down lectures to force students to pay their tuition fees. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
As Americans cast their ballots today to elect their leaders for the next 4 years, some Americans living in South Sudan's capital, Juba, say they anticipate a new dawn for all Americans, regardless of their color or race. Sari Mading, an American living and working in Juba, says she expects the new elected president to come into the office with new policies that unite Americans. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
U.S. President Donald Trump is trailing behind former Vice President Joe Biden in opinion polls, but the race is seen as tight enough some states that Trump could possibly win enough votes needed to prevail in the state-by-state electoral college, which determines the winner. African-American Sareen Mading, who lives in Juba, says she expects the next U.S. president to enact policies that treat all Americans with justice and equality, unlike in previous years. Mading, who worked in Juba for nearly 3 years, says she wants to see African-Americans receive fair and equal treatment, just like other citizens in America. She says President Trump's first term in the office has not been easy for many African Americans.
We have been so divided. It's one of the reasons I even moved from the U.S. to South Sudan, because I was just tired of the division and the divisiveness that was happening. I mean, like, as an African American, right, this was like what Obama said, there should not be two Americas, but there are, you know, in the form of how we see the economy, how we see education, how we see the healthcare system, all of that, right? And so for people who are of color, they experience a completely different America a lot of times.
Mading says she would be disappointed if President Trump is reelected.
It would be our worst nightmare for him to be reelected. But I wouldn't be surprised, because I said it when he first got elected, I won't be surprised if he gets reelected again.
Mading urges her fellow Americans to vote and exercise patience during this election period as an example to the rest of the world.
I think, you know, for those of us who are living abroad, who, you know, we're watching and we know that the American politics pretty much affect a lot of what else is going on in the world. People look up to our process. People look up to maybe finding a way to have their own governments, whatever country they live in, but in particular South Sudan, looking to find a more democratic and diplomatic way of running elections.
Okello Michael, a South Sudanese American working in Juba, says he has already cast his vote and plans to listen to the election coverage tonight. Michael says usually one cannot predict who wins an election, but says if Trump is reelected, he must ensure justice and equality for all Americans during his second term in office.
We want to see justice happening to black people, black community and black society regardless of who's going to win, whether it's Trump again or Joe Biden's coming in. We want to see how the police brutality being minimized or actually not being there at all. And we also want to see equal treatment, either you black or white, getting the same job opportunities. That's what I expect to happen in the next 4 years.
Key battleground states include North Carolina, Ohio, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
For those who are following developments in the United States presidential election, you probably heard the Electoral College mentioned. It is a voting system that goes back to the country's early days as a nation, as my VOA colleagues Salwa Jaffer and Scott Stans explain.
Hello, everyone. Today we are exploring one of the peculiarities of the American electoral process, the Electoral College. Americans who go to the polls on Election Day don't actually select the president. They are technically voting for electors who meet in their respective states and vote for the president themselves. Here's how it works.
America's founding fathers established the Electoral College because they believed that many voters in the 1780s were not informed enough about the candidates to make wise choices. This was a compromise between having Congress choose the president and having what political leaders feared would be an uninformed popular vote. Electors chosen by voters in each state meet in December to formally elect the president and vice president. Those state votes are counted by Congress in January, with each state and Washington, D.C. awarded a share of the electoral votes based on their proportion of the total population. There are 538 electoral votes in total, so a candidate must get 270 of those to win election. In most states, the candidate who wins the popular vote in that state gets all of the state's electoral votes. But there are some states that divide their electoral votes based on how well candidates perform. Under the Electoral College system, it is possible to lose the nationwide popular vote and still be elected president. In the year 2000, voting in Florida was so close that ballots were recounted several times before the election landed at the U.S. Supreme Court, where George W. Bush was declared the overall winner because of Florida's 25 electoral votes, not because of the popular vote. There have been calls to change the system, but that would require a constitutional amendment.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, former Sudanese Prime Minister tests positive for COVID-19. That story is lined up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you could be famous, what would you like to be famous for?
I don't know if I want to be famous for anything in particular, but I think being famous in a way that is beneficial to other people, say, be famous for having like a really solid foundation that in turn inspires other people to also give back.
I would like to be famous for inventing new things, coming up with new and innovative ideas.
I'd wish to be a vibrant politician in my country, and I would wish to be known for being a very good politician.
I would love to be famous in the sector of acting, like as an actor. I'd love to be an inspiration to others. Yeah, I like to inspire people.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. And in our Tuesday's health segment, we look at the use of masks during the coronavirus pandemic. Scientists studying virus at the University of Tokyo say while masks can offer protection from airborne COVID-19 particles, their effectiveness varies. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo has more on the results of the new research.
Scientists used two mannequins, one coughing out droplets containing COVID-19 and the other equipped with a mechanism which imitates human breathing, inhaling virus particles.
There is no doubt that masks reduce the amount of the virus entering into bodies. But at the same time, we should not overestimate the effectiveness of masks.
Lead researcher and professor of virology Yoshihiro Kawaoka says the level of protection from the coronavirus depends on the type of mask one wears.
We compared three different types of masks, cotton, surgical, and N95 masks, by putting a mask on a mannequin inhaling the virus. The N95 mask was the most effective one. Surgical and cotton are second and third, respectively.
Takemasa Sakaguchi says using actual coronavirus made for a better experiment.
I see the effort that they exerted to get results as close to the actual condition of inhaling the virus as possible. I believe that the result is quite similar to real life.
On the streets of the capital, Tokyo, most appear to don some form of mask, but not all have the highest level of protection.
Tokyo has around 200 new infection cases every day, so I think, at least in Tokyo, we should wear a mask.
I'm used to wearing a mask since I have hay fever. I also wear it to protect myself from flu, especially in winter. During the summer, it was a bit challenging because it was really hot, but I think there was no problem wearing a mask.
Japan has more than 98,000 coronavirus cases. At least 1,700 people have died and over 90,000 have recovered from the virus, according to government data. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Former Sudanese Prime Minister and leader of the National Umma Party, Sadiq al-Mahdi, has been airlifted to the United Arab Emirates early this morning after he tested positive for COVID-19 last week. Sudanese health officials say 21 of al-Mahdi's close family members, including his daughter, Mariam al-Mahdi, have gone into self-isolation. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
As Sadiq al-Mahdi tested positive for COVID-19 late last week and was immediately taken to Aliyah Hospital in Omdurman for treatment. Health officials say at least 21 other people, including other Umma Party leaders and al-Mahdi's daughter Mariam Sadiq al-Mahdi, have tested positive. Mariam al-Mahdi was airlifted today to the United Arab Emirates along with her father. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus, Umma Party member Ahmed Yusuf Gariben confirms Sadiq al-Mahdi was immediately taken to an isolation center for more treatment in a UAE.
He developed some difficulty breathing in the past few days, which is a typical symptom of COVID-19. But he has arrived safely and is keeping well. He was able to sit on the plane and use his seat belt, and that shows improvement in his health. Thanks be to God, he's well.
Gariben refuted media reports that al-Mahdi was in a critical condition before being flown to the UAE.
The health condition of our Imam was good before he could travel, and there is nothing to worry about. The idea to travel outside the country is to get more medical attention and further treatment.
Gariben says al-Mahdi's family members and other party leaders have been treated for COVID-19 in various isolation centers in Khartoum.
All family members were tested positive, including Mariam al-Mahdi. Her first test was negative, but during the second test, she was positive of COVID-19. This is normal because they are always in close contact with their father, so we were not surprised at all.
Last week, Sudanese health officials carried out a random test on Sudanese Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok, who tested negative. Chairman of the Sudan Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, also tested negative for COVID-19. Sudanese health officials are urging citizens to continue wearing face masks in the public and practice social distancing to avoid contracting the coronavirus. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Still on COVID, Kenya's Union of Post-Primary Education Teachers is calling on the government to shut down schools after 35 teachers and 17 students tested positive for COVID-19 in the past week and a second teacher died. Kenya opened some school grades in early October for students to do final testing. The call comes a day after Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta hinted he might reintroduce restrictions after a jump in confirmed daily infections. For VOA News, Muhammad Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
The partial reopening of schools in Kenya enters its fourth week, and at least 35 schools across the country have reported positive coronavirus cases. Tomkins Baraza, who teaches Swahili and history at the Nakuru High School, says teachers fear for their lives.
It's a very big worry for teachers. Now that most of the learners, they are asymptomatic. So you don't know who is having it. If we have mass testing for students in all schools, at least you will find some students having the coronavirus disease.
Baraza School is using 12 classes instead of 6 to limit the spread of the virus and has yet to report a positive case. Kenya has recorded a growing number of COVID-19 positive cases in recent weeks, and the surge is blamed on the easing of restrictions meant to combat the spread of the virus. Speaking to reporters Monday from the coastal town of Malindi, Health Minister Mutahi Kagwe said 14 of every 100 people tested nationwide turned out to be positive for coronavirus.
There is a sharp increase in positivity rates lately, with a high of 18% this last Saturday. Yesterday, our positivity rate was 15%, and today, we are heading not far from that direction. Over the last 1 week, we have seen close to 100 deaths, which is the highest number we have ever witnessed since our first confirmed case in March.
Among the deaths reported last week was a secondary school head teacher in Mombasa, and the school remains closed. Kenya has recorded at least 56,000 coronavirus cases and more than 1,000 deaths. Isaac Masenge, an official with the Kenya Union of Post-Primary Education Teachers in Nairobi, says the union is concerned about teachers' exposure.
Remember, in day schools, children are coming from home, they're intermingling with people in matatus, and you can see the multiplier effect they can cause in school, especially the old teachers, all teachers with other ailments. Currently, as we are moving forward, the schools are also being hit, and therefore we need a proper communique from the national office to give a way forward with the employer together to give a way forward on this issue of teachers with conditions and teachers who are also 55 maybe years and above.
Our attempts to reach officials at the Teacher Service Commission, a state body tasked with managing the hiring and deployment of Kenya's teachers, were unsuccessful. Some critics have been calling for renewed school closures to shield the teachers and students, but the Ministry of Education insists that children are safe in schools and that learning will go uninterrupted. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. More than 25 dismissed and suspended University of Juba students have retained a lawyer to sue Vice Chancellor Professor John Akech. Akech dismissed 14 students and suspended 14 others, accusing them of causing unrest on the campus. In an October 30th letter seen by VOA, the dean's board said after discussing a report on student unrest in January and again in October, the board decided students involved in both events should either be dismissed or suspended, depending on their level of involvement. One fourth-year dismissed student says he and other students were astonished to hear that they had to leave the school, saying they did nothing wrong. The students say the action did not follow protocol, but a student code of conduct requires that all students refrain from acts that may be considered unfit in an educational institution. As Americans go to the polls this election day, some African Americans in Juba say they're anticipating a new dawn for all Americans, regardless of race or color. U.S. President Donald Trump trails behind former Vice President Joe Biden in the polls, but the race is seen as tight in some battleground states. African American Sari Mading, who lives and worked in Juba, says she expects the next U.S. president to run an administration that treats all Americans with justice and equality, unlike in previous years. And finally, former Sudanese Prime Minister and National Umma Party leader Sadiq al-Mahdi was flown to the United Arab Emirates after testing positive for COVID-19 late last week. Sudanese health officials report that al-Mahdi's wife, son, and daughter also tested positive and are in self-isolation. Health officials say other Umma Party leaders have also tested positive. Umma Party member Ahmed Yusuf Garabane confirms al-Mahdi was taken to an isolation center today in the UAE, but refuted media reports that he was in critical condition before he left. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. We now leave you with the South Sudanese musician Dilang with some of his colleagues from Congo singing all the way from Canada.
Brother Dilang here. I welcome you all to dance with us.
Sudan. On dit premier gaou n'est pas gaou. A deuxième gaou, bien n'y a gaou. On a dansé un peu. On était ensemble. Nous allons à l'ongoré. Nous nous foutons moi, il faut voir. N'yangere, n'yangere, wa. Mon aïe, n'yangere, n'yangere, wa. Si vous cherchez ma aïe, n'yangere, n'yangere, wa. Aïe, n'yangere, n'yangere, wa. N'yangere, n'yangere, wa. Aïe, n'yangere, n'yangere, wa.
We have been listening to Dilang and some of his Congolese colleagues singing all the way from Canada. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask if you must leave your house. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Bazangi de mai